Standing there now in the cave by the cooking fire, she could see him, short and brown and sober-faced, with the sad eyes, the cheeks sunken and the black hair curled wet on his forehead where the tight-fitting matador's hat had made a red line that no one else noticed. She saw him stand now, facing the 5-year-old bull, facing the horns that had lifted the horses high, the great neck thrusting the horse up, up as that rider poked into that neck with the spiked pole, thrusting up and up until the horse went over with a crash and the rider fell against the wooden fence, and with the bull's legs thrusting him forward, the big neck swung the horns that searched the horse for the life that was in him. She saw him, finito, the not-so-good matador now standing in front of the bull and turning sideways toward him. She saw him now clearly as he furled the heavy flannel cloth around the stick, the flannel hanging blood-heavy from the passes where it had swept over the bull's head and shoulders, and the wet streaming shine of his withers and on down and over his back as the bull raised into the air and the banderillas clattered. She saw Finito standing 5 paces from the bull's head, profiled, the bull standing still and heavy, and draw the sword slowly up until it was level with his shoulder, and then sight along the dipping blade at a point he could not yet see because the bull's head was higher than his eyes. He would bring that head down with the sweep his left arm would make with the wet, heavy cloth, but now he rocked back a little on his heels and sighted along the blade, profiled in front of the splintered horn, the bull's chest heaving and his eyes watching the cloth. She saw him very clearly now, and she heard his thin, clear voice as he turned his head and looked toward the people in the first row of the ring above the red fence and said, "Let's see if we can kill him like this." She could hear the voice, and then see the first bend of the knee as he started forward and watched his voyage in onto the horn that lowered now magically as the bull's muzzle followed the low swept cloth, the thin brown wrist controlled, sweeping the horns down and past as the sword entered the dusty height of the withers. She saw its brightness going in slowly and steadily, as though the bull's rush plucked it into himself and out from the man's hand, and she watched it move in until the brown knuckles rested against the taut hide, and the short brown man, whose eyes had never left the entry place of the sword, now swung his sucked-in belly clear of the horn and rocked clear from the animal, to stand holding the cloth on the stick in his left hand, raising his right hand to watch the bull die. She saw him standing, his eyes watching the bull trying to hold the ground, watching the bull sway like a tree before it falls, watching the bull fight to hold his feet to the earth, the short man's hand raised in a formal gesture of triumph. She saw him standing there in the sweated, hollow relief of it being over, feeling the relief that the bull was dying, feeling the relief that there had been no shock, no blow of the horn as he came clear from it, and then as he stood, the bull could hold to the earth no longer and crashed over, rolling dead with all 4 feet in the air, and she could see the short brown man walking tired and unsmiling to the fence. She knew he could not run across the ring if his life depended on it, and she watched him walk slowly to the fence and wipe his mouth on a towel, and look up at her and shake his head, and then wipe his face on the towel and start his triumphant circling of the ring. She saw him moving slowly, dragging around the ring, smiling, bowing, smiling, his assistants walking behind him, stooping, picking up cigars, tossing back hats. He circling the ring, sad-eyed and smiling, to end the circle before her. Then she looked over and saw him sitting now on the step of the wooden fence, his mouth in a towel. Pilar saw all this as she stood there over the fire, and she said, "So he wasn't a good matador. With what class of people is my life past now?"
"He was a good matador," Pablo said. "He was handicapped by his short stature."
"And clearly it was tubercular," Primitivo said.
"Tubercular," Pilar said. "Who wouldn't be tubercular from the punishment he received? In this country where no poor man can ever hope to make money unless he is a criminal like Juan March, or a bullfighter, or a tenor in the opera, why wouldn't he be tubercular? In a country where the bourgeoisie overeat so that their stomachs are all ruined and they cannot live without bicarbonate of soda, and the poor are hungry from their birth till the day they die, why wouldn't he be tubercular? If you traveled under the seats in third-class carriages to ride free when you were following the fairs learning to fight as a boy, down there in the dust and dirt with the fresh spit and the dry spit, wouldn't you be tubercular if your chest was beaten out by horns?"
"Clearly," Primitivo said. "I only said he was tubercular."
"Of course he was tubercular," Pilar said, standing there with the big wooden stirring spoon in her hand.
He was short of stature, and he had a thin voice and much fear of bulls. Never have I seen a man with more fear before the bullfight, and never have I seen a man with less fear in the ring. You, she said to Pablo, you are afraid to die now. You think that is something of importance? But Finito was afraid all the time, and in the ring he was like a lion.
He had the fame of being very valiant, the second brother said.